This is Kindergarten Cop, and I will be reading today from the Central Illinois Pantograph, and I'm going to start with an article titled, "This is the Way to Watch a Game. Gooners Fired Up by Arsenal Cheer on UK Football at Brass Pig," by Olivia Jacobs. James Austin's longtime passion for Arsenal football led him to starting his very own club, the Central Illinois Gooners. Austin, originally from Cambridge, England, lives in Bloomington. When he moved here, he kept bumping into other fans of British football, soccer to Americans, and after COVID, he decided all the fans should get together to watch the games. Austin, his father-in-law Rick Anhalt, and friend Josh Stebbins created the club 4 years ago, and it continues to grow. The group, which has been officially recognized by Arsenal America, watches games together at the Brass Pig Smoke and Ale House, 602 North Main Street in Bloomington. They have about 150 people who interact with their Facebook group, about 20 regulars who come to the games each week, and another 20 who come less frequently. There are about 20 games per week. There are about 2 games per week, with the season running from August through May. We're actually one of the smaller supporter groups, but, you know, we're growing, and we're quite proud of that because we've been able to really create and sustain this community, Austin said. And I think Bloomington Normal, there's a lot of interest in football, particularly with the World Cup coming up and the Premier League growing. There's so many people out there who are really into it, and it's just a case of getting the word out there and letting people know and networking and inviting people to our games. Arsenal America is the official supporters group for Arsenal Football Club, a London-based Premier League team founded in 1886 by munitions factory workers. The history lives on in the nicknames for its supporters, Gunners or Gooners. There are about 75 Arsenal America branches throughout the U.S., with more around the world. Austin's 11-year-old son, Elias, or Eli as affectionately known, as Tater Tot at the Brass Pig due to his regular order of Tater Tots and Diet Coke during games. I love the community, obviously, getting my Diet Coke and Tater Tots, but it's just such a fun community. Everyone's so passionate, said Eli, who got into soccer because of his dad and has been watching games at the Brass Pig for more than 2 years. It's brought me a passion I don't think I'll ever forget, but I think my dad's just built something amazing. The partnership between the Gooners and the Brass Pig was a natural one, as owner John Solberg is also an Arsenal fan. He said the partnership started when the restaurant offered breakfast during the downtown Bloomington Farmers Market, and some Arsenal members asked if the Brass Pig wanted to be the official Arsenal Central Illinois pub. The restaurant opens early for games, as some of them take place as early as 6:30 a.m. Central Time. Solberg said they've offered some fun things for the games, such as a full English breakfast, breakfast pizzas, jersey giveaways, special glassware, and more. Each year, the club gathers for the big Boxing Day game, which takes place not actually on Boxing Day, December 26th, but 2 days after Christmas, this year on Saturday, December 27th. Saturday is just a lot of fun, kind of like Championship Day for soccer as well, Solberg said. They got pretty much every team playing at 9 a.m., so you'll have a bunch of different fans in here. You get some good back and forth between different fan groups. It's a really electric atmosphere when you get a lot of guys in here. A lot of different games going on. Solberg said they're expecting around 50 to 60 fans on Saturday, but anyone is welcome to join. Austin said their fans range from kids to retirees and everyone in between. Another Gooner, Andrew Matthews of Bloomington, said he has enjoyed the game since he was a kid and played in college, being an Arsenal fan the majority of the time. He's been watching the Premier League for nearly 30 years. Matthews used to watch the games at home until he discovered the group on Facebook. He came to watch a game with some friends and family, met the other fans, and has been attending ever since. The Gooners have become like his extended family, he said. This is how soccer is supposed to be watched. It's supposed to be watched with other fans, Matthews said. I'll watch a game anytime, but if you want to watch your team and the big matches and stuff like you want to watch in this setting, the energy, camaraderie, friendship, like this is the right way to watch a game. The biggest Boxing Day game at Brass Pig brought in nearly 100 people, Matthews added. In addition to the Saturday game, there will also be a secret Santa exchange, giveaways, and other games for attendees to enjoy. Austin said the game is a big sports day, similar to watching American football on Thanksgiving Day. The thing that I love about soccer fandom here is that everyone comes to it from a different perspective, he said. Some people get into it through playing FIFA. Some people have seen maybe, you know, the World Cup, or they've just played a little bit when they were younger, and they're curious. And other people maybe have spent time overseas and caught a game there, and they got the bug there. It really doesn't matter. It's so welcoming that it doesn't matter how you get there. If you're curious and you're interested in football, we're happy to have everyone come here and enjoy the game together. It's a family-friendly atmosphere that we've created, and we are very proud of that. Details in regard to the Boxing Day game? What? Central Illinois Gooners. When? 9 a.m. Saturday, December 27th. Where? Brass Pig Smoke and Ale House, 602 North Main Street in Bloomington. How to join? Request to be added to their Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/105-026-540-579-8332/, or show up to the Brass Pig on game days to watch. Merchandise can be purchased at madgd.com/CIG. Moving to an article about Toys for Tots. It's titled Engineer Makes Christmas Complete. This is by Drew Zimmerman. For the last 25 years, Illinois State University has played a part in the success of the Toys for Tots program. But the success wouldn't be possible without the work of one ISU employee who is heralded by some as the university's own Santa Claus. Troy Ziegler, an ISU engineer who served in the U.S. Marine Corps between 1987 and 1995, has volunteered for Toys for Tots for 32 years. In recent years, he said he's noticed an uptick in the demand for presents for underprivileged children. Last year, the McLean County chapter distributed 28,708 to about 7,100 children, but Ziegler said he is used to providing gifts for 4,500 to 5,100 kids. We had an organization that usually does their own thing, and they were a little overwhelmed with their sign-up process, so they gave me a call and said, "We need some help," Ziegler said. "We got a lot more kids than we expected to." Prior to the year 2000, McLean County did not have an independent Toys for Tots campaign. Instead, local volunteers collaborated with the Charlie Company Marine Reserve Unit in Peoria. But in 2000, former director Matt Dratt petitioned the Toys for Tots Foundation for McLean County to operate its own campaign. The application was granted, and the McLean County Toys for Tots is now celebrating its 25th anniversary, with Ziegler serving as director since 2012. When Ziegler is not monitoring the university's heating and cooling systems, his volunteer work begins in October, preparing collection boxes all over campus with QR codes that allow donors to make monetary contributions. During this time, Ziegler said emails come fast and they come hard from people who want to have a collection box or toy drive of their own. It's often difficult to say yes to all of these requests because of the difficulty in maintaining the roughly 100 boxes scattered throughout Bloomington Normal. We don't want to discourage people from collecting, so we just say that if you want to, here's some graphics for your social media and create your own box, decorate it, collect toys, and then just either take it to a collection box that we maintain or bring it out to our distribution center, Ziegler said. Once a box fills up, one of a handful of volunteers known as elves will call the Salvation Army to have Ziegler or another volunteer pick up the box and deliver its contents to the distribution center. Volunteers are solicited throughout the community for different activities and events, but he also has an advisory board of six other individuals that assist in his decision making. Matt Wing, ISU's Director of External Relations, said the donations are sorted and prepared for a shopping event in December, where families can pick out three or four toys per child. Ziegler also credited the program's partnership with the Salvation Army, which not only hosts the shopping event where families can pick up toys for their children, but also offers a Christmas assistance program each where food baskets are prepared for families in need. It just seems to be a perfect merger, Ziegler said. You guys provide the food, we'll provide the toys, and now a family has a complete Christmas. Even after 30 years of volunteering, Ziegler said, there are stories from families every holiday season that make him remember why he first got involved. A couple of years ago, Ziegler said there was a family that relied on the Toys for Tots program for holiday shopping for the last 5 years. He ended up running into the family's mother during distribution, who informed him that she got a job and was now volunteering for the program herself. It was her way to give back, Ziegler said. This year, Ziegler said about 23,000 toys were collected. However, that number may be higher when factoring in a few spare collection boxes that haven't been collected and collections from a separate agency group. As for when he might retire from his volunteer work, Ziegler said he is not committed to a certain date. We'll make that decision as the time comes up, he said. And this article includes two photos. The first photo is of Troy Ziegler, Director of Toy Collections at Toys for Tots, McLean County, helping to organize donated toys on Wednesday, December 17th at Youth Build of McLean County on Wiley Drive in Normal. This is a partnership between the Salvation Army of McLean County and Toys for Tots, and they distributed 7,000 gifts to ensure 1,737 children from 751 households received them. Families also received food boxes with ingredients to prepare a holiday meal. And the second photo from this article, it shows tables filled with toys and then boxes filled with the toys with the logo Toys for Tots on the side and the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve logo. And this is at the Salvation Army of McLean County in partnership with Toys for Tots. Now I will read an article titled Congregation Can Overcome Anything. Christmas Morning Mass at Holy Trinity Connects Community and Goodwill by D. Jack Alkire. Congregants were grateful for the chance to gather together in worship Christmas morning at one of Bloomington Normal's most recognized churches. It's very humbling and comforting to come together with our community, said Normal's Ryan Melski before the start of Mass at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Bloomington. I think we get isolated with social media and screens all the time, so it's really nice to come out and physically gather in one place. For many, the specter of social distancing is still fresh in mind. It means a lot to me because during COVID, it was really hard, said Nancy Novacek. So I'm thankful to be able to come together. The church community is something that inspires, said Monica Rondon. I think it gives you hope and a feeling of empowerment that you join with others, and you can overcome anything, she said, a feeling that Melski shared. I mean, it's really touching, he said. You do feel like a sense of community coming to church like this. Others are bringing their children to share in the custom of Christmas Mass. It's nice tradition because I went to this church when I was a kid, and I can go with my son now, said Bloomington's Bill Smith. Each one hopes to carry the spirit of Christmas with them into the new year. We, my family, were talking this morning. We decided that Christmas is a time to just think about others as opposed to ourselves, Melski said. And then kind of let that be some guidance as we start the new year. Christmas is a time for togetherness regardless of worldly differences, Rondon said. The message of spiritual salvation is the cornerstone of Christmas, said Clemens Feldker, as he held the front door open for fellow parishioners. To me, it's a remembrance of what it was all about, the birth of Jesus and what he has done for us, and the salvation that he granted us from his birth to his ultimate sacrifice, and what we can do to be more like Christ and live his message. And this article includes two photos from D. Jack Alkire Photos. First one is of worshipers singing at the beginning of the service, Thursday, December 25th. And the second one is of Clemens Feldker holding the door for churchgoers nearly 20 minutes, welcoming each one with a Merry Christmas, also on Thursday, December 25th. This article is titled Emergency Cash Filled Gaps When SNAP Stopped by James Pollard. Finances already looked tight for Jade Grant and her three children as she entered the year's final months. Everyone's birthday is back-to-back, the 32-year-old certified nursing assistant said. You have holidays coming up, you have Thanksgiving, everything is right there, and then, boom, no food stamps. Grant is among the nearly 42 million lower-income Americans who get help buying groceries from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. When the federal shutdown began in October, she wasn't worried about losing her benefits and said she is used to government, quote, foolishness. But circumstances got dicey when the budget impasse entered into its second month and President Donald Trump took the unprecedented step of freezing November SNAP payments. With one child who eats gluten-free and another with many allergies, specialty items already drove up her grocery bill. Now, Grant wondered how she'd put food on the table, especially with her youngest's sixth birthday approaching. Then Grant logged into Propel, an app used by 5 million people to manage their electronic benefit transfers, where she saw a pop-up banner inviting her to apply for a relief program. Within a minute, she'd completed a survey, and about 2 days later, she got a virtual $50 gift card. The total didn't come close to her monthly SNAP allotment, but the Palm Bay, Florida resident said it was enough to buy a customized Bluey birthday cake for her son. Nearly a quarter of a million families got that same cash injection from the nonprofit Give Directly as they missed SNAP deposits many need to feed their households. The collaboration with Propel proved to be the largest disaster response in the International Cash Assistance Group's history outside of COVID-19. Non-pandemic records were set with the $12 million raised, more than 246,000 beneficiaries enrolled, and 5,000 individual donors reached. Recipients are still recovering from the uncertainty of last month's SNAP delays. Company surveys suggest many are dealing with the long-term consequences of borrowing money in early November when their benefits didn't arrive on time, according to Propel CEO Jimmy Chen. At a time when users felt the existing safety net had fallen through, They credit the rapid payments for buoying them, both financially and emotionally. It's not a lot, but at the same time, it is a lot, Grant said, because $50 can do a lot when you don't have anything. It's not the first partnership for the anti-poverty nonprofit and for-profit software company. They have previously combined GiveDirectly's fast cash model with Propel's verified user base to get money out to natural disaster survivors, including $1,000 last year to some households impacted by hurricanes Milton and Helene. This particular incident with the shutdown we saw as akin to a natural disaster, Chen said, in the sense that created a really sudden and really acute form of hardship for many Americans across the country. The scope differed this time. The man-made disaster, as GiveDirectly U.S. Country Director Dustin Palmer put it, was not geographically isolated. The benefits freeze impacted more people than they usually serve. SNAP costs almost $10 billion a month, Palmer said, so they never expected to raise enough money to replace the delayed benefits altogether. But 5,000 individual donors, plus $1 million gifts from Propel and New York nonprofit Robinhood, as well as other major foundation support, provided a sizable pot. Palmer found that the issue resonated more than he expected. GiveDirectly reports that the median donation was $100. Palmer took that response as a sign that the issue hit close to home for many Americans. The greatest question revolved around the total sum of each cash transfer. Should they reach more people with fewer dollars, or vice versa? They settled on $50 because Palmer said they wanted a, quote, stopgap that represented a meaningful trip to the grocery store. To equitably focus their limited resources on those who would be missing the most support, Palmer said they targeted families with children who received the maximum SNAP allotment. Propel's software allowed them to send money as soon as the app detected that a family's benefits hadn't arrived at the usual time of the month. And now an article from Sports. This one is titled New Look Iron Top Seed, Burdett Leading the Way for 7-1 Normal Community by Randy Reinhardt. This is from the State Farm Holiday Classic. Jaheim Weber and Kobe Walker have both moved into the college ranks. That ends, at least for the time being, the Normal Community High School basketball team's run of dominant 6'9" or taller centers. The Ironmen are adjusting quite well if their 7-1 record and number one seed in the large school boys bracket of the State Farm Holiday Classic is any indication. We're having to play a different style, NCHS coach Dave Witzig said. We're pushing the pace more and spreading out. The guys are doing a good job adjusting to something new. It's been a good start playing the new way. Senior guard Trey Burdett has stepped into the go-to scorer role and averages 17.5 points. He's done a nice job with that, said Witzig, whose team opens classic play Friday against Rochester in a 6:30 p.m. game at Normal West. Last year, he was the starting point guard and led the team in assists. He knew his job was to get the ball to Kobe. Sophomore forward Chase Kasten contributes 14.9 points and a team-best 7.4 rebounds. Carter Harris helps with 5 rebounds. Scoring is not the problem. We're still learning to play together, Witzig said. We have to box out. We relied on our big guys in the past to win the boards. Now it's more of a team effort. NCHS was selected the top seed before a 65-58 loss to Peoria last week. The 7-3 Lions are the number 3 seed and the defending bracket champions. Peoria broke our 24-game Big 12 conference win streak, said Witzig. They showed us some of our weaknesses. Hopefully we can learn from that. Rock Island, 7-1, is the second seed, with Springfield Sacred Heart Griffin, 4-2, fourth. The Classic runs Friday and Saturday, takes a break on Sunday, and finishes Monday and Tuesday. In small school boys, University High is the number 4 seed. I thought we really responded this past week, winning 3 games after losing to Decatur MacArthur and Springfield. Pioneers coach Andrew McDowell said, "We started getting contributions from 10 different guys. Depth has really been important." According to McDowell, guards Dallas Smith and Cameron Johnson have stepped into their roles and identities as senior leaders. The 6'1" Johnson averages 14.5 points, 7 rebounds, and 4.5 assists. "He's a unicorn of a basketball player," said McDowell, whose team plays defending bracket champion Pecatonica on Friday at 6:30 p.m. at Shirk Center. "He's a matchup problem, and he's a phenomenal defender as well. He's fun to coach. We can be really creative how we use him." Other key pioneers include Owen Kirby, 9 points, and Devin Fitzgerald, 8.8. Kankakee Bishop McNamara is the top seed, boasting a 12-1 record. Aurora Christian, 11-0, is second, and Quincy Notre Dame, 7-0, is third. The Holiday Classic on the small school side has some of the best teams in the state year in and year out, McDowell said. "It's always a great challenge. If you want to win 4 games, you have to be ready to play all 4. In girls, Eureka is the number 4 seed in the small school bracket. The Hornets are 7-3 with losses to 4A teams Pekin and Moline and 1A powerhouse Deer Creek Mackinac. Their first round classic opponent is Rochester in a noon game Friday at Bloomington High School. "We're looking forward to some tough competition to help us keep improving," Eureka coach Jerry Prina said. "We're hoping for big things this year after we opened with our tournament championship Hornet Hoopsgiving, in which we hosted Olympia, Clinton, and Decatur MacArthur." The Edwards sisters are juniors and in their third year on varsity. Maya Edwards averages 13 points and Ivy 11. Junior Skylar Knapp adds 12 points per outing for the Hornets. The leading rebounders are junior Gabba Musselman and sophomore Briley Brace. Winnebago is the number 1 seed with a 10-1 record. Port Byron Riverdale, 10-0, is the second seed, with Paris, 8-2, third. Camp Point Central is the 3-time defending champion. At 11-0, Washington is seeking a second straight title in large school. DePaul College Prep, 12-0, is the 2 seed, with Morton, 9-0, third, and Freeport, 11-1, fourth.